We're doing something different this last couple of weeks. We've been going through a study on a question that was posed to us several months ago by a few of us. And should we cover our heads in God's presence? And wanted to get our view on 1 Corinthians 11. So we've done that part of that document last week. We got up to page 14. What I thought we could do was start with page 13 and go over the conclusion one more time, just read it over as we've been doing, and then kind of go into the questions. We did have some changes, updates we wanted to hand out. These are just two pages which are new. I don't know why I do that. So,
did you get that?
You can collate and pull apart and restaple or whatever as you have done. There was one change we made, not one change, we added one extra paragraph at the bottom of page 3.
Everybody got the extra pages?
Because we wanted to also clarify that we don't know much about this gentleman who we did read from. We read some of his works and definitely that one article we read in detail, but we wanted to clarify that we don't know much about this person. So even in the document that he had written that we reviewed, there was something where we disagreed with him. And we addressed that in the question, I believe, that Sun asked verbally of what we think about 1 Corinthians 14, should women remain silent? Bruce Terry believes that women should be completely silent in the church. We don't. And we talked about that. So I'll just read that one paragraph. However, we must also stress that we do not agree with all of Bruce Terry's conclusions, even in the above-mentioned article. For example, we disagree with his views on 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 35. We'll talk about that more in question 7 because we added a new question in there. But we also want to be honest and give credit to the extent where his article did provide a useful theological framework on how we easily understand this passage. So I hope that clarifies. We're not in contact with him. We don't know much about what all he believes. We happened to stumble upon that article on the internet, so that gives you the history of what we know about him and where his views may differ from ours. Shall we go over the conclusion and then start from there, just so that people can just wrap their minds around some of the theological pillars on which we built this document, and then go there. And if you guys want to start.
Sure. Okay. I'll start with the conclusion, which is on page 13 of the document I'm holding. Okay, conclusion. These then are some conclusions that we can make. Christ is still the head of every man, and the man is the head of woman, from verse 3. This is not a cultural statement that was true only in the first century Corinthian context. Second, the man is still the glory of God, and woman is the glory of man, from verse 7. This has changed. This has not changed in the 2,000 years since the Corinthian context. Third, from our understanding of Genesis, we still believe that woman was created from the man and to be a suitable helper for the man, from verses 7 and 8. This, too, is not a cultural statement. Fourth, whatever the meaning of the phrase, because of the angels might be, it is a safe bet that the angels have not changed in their significance since Paul wrote this in verse 10. Next, even though the woman was created for the man, there is no inequality in the value and worth before the Lord. Both are still precious and as valuable. Lastly, culturally, women still wear their hair longer than men, from verse 14. And although a modern man would not judge it culturally improper for women to pray bareheaded, the thrust of Paul's entire argument leads us to believe that Paul was appealing for them to judge in the light of divinely ordered principles and apostolic teaching. Therefore, we can summarize the basis of the command for the local church as this. When we as men and women gather together as a local church, God is present in this midst. It is His church, not our church. So in His church, where He is in the midst of it, He alone gets all the glory. He must get all the glory. With that as the basis, the crux of this entire passage in 1 Corinthians 11 builds primarily around four verses, verses 3, verse 7, 10, and 15. From verse 3, we see that the theology of head covering makes a clear statement about the principle of submission in the house of God. Just as Jesus submitted to the Father, so also the man submits to Christ, and the woman submits to the man. A physical head covering by women in the church is a statement to this principle of submission. From verses 7 and 10, we see that since the man is the glory of God, the man keeps his head uncovered as his way of saying that God gets all the glory. And since the woman is the glory of the man, the woman keeps her head covered as her way of saying that the man's glory be covered and God alone get all the glory.